So our next case for argument is Morgan versus FVT.
SVT.
I think the food store calls itself. Doesn't the food store call itself Ultra Foods?
That's the name of the particular
the
store.
Trade name.
They're a chain, and mm-hmm. different stores have.
Made. Did they buy out Cub Foods in the Chicago area?
This store used to be a Cub Foods store. May it please the court. My name is David Lee, and I represent the plaintiff appellant Marcus Morgan in this case. This is a race discrimination case, and summary judgment was entered below. We're obviously appealing the entry of that summary judgment.
I'm afraid your client has terrible judgment. So tell me, what was the value of the piece of newspaper that
dairy
manager removed?
Mr. Kajewowski.
Well, a newspaper is, 50 cents to a dollar.
He took only a piece of the newspaper.
Pardon?
He took only a piece of the newspaper.
Yes, but that sort of...
Suppose he had waited until the newspaper had been thrown in the trash.
Well, that would be abandoned property. But
if he'd waited 5 minutes... So I suppose now that if one of us takes a pencil home, a government issue pencil, we should be suspended for one day for theft of government property.
But Your Honor,
look, isn't it understood in any kind of employment situation that there are certain things, technically the property of the company, that you can take home with you, right? The pencil, nobody cares about that. A newspaper that's about to be thrown away, you take a piece of the newspaper that's about to be thrown away, and the security manager makes an issue of this, and you're docked. It's ridiculous.
Well,
this fellow, your client, wasn't doing a good job. I think because he was working too hard. He's working 80 hours a week. Look, to be an anti-shoplifting security officer, you have to be extremely alert because the shoplifters are trying to conceal what they're doing. You have to be eagle-eyed. And if you're working 80 hours a week and you're exhausted, you're not going to be effective. You're not going to be effective, and so it's understandable that he had this very low detection rate. He didn't help himself by creating this incident with the dairy manager. I don't see where race comes into this or any kind of discrimination. It's just, as I say, I feel sorry about him because I think he's just working too much. And maybe has to, for economic reasons. But I don't see how you can understand why he gets let go. I don't see any racial dimension to it.
The problem, Your Honor, is that everything you just said is drawing an inference in favor of the defendant. And, of course, on summary judgment, it's the plaintiff.
I think what I've said is undeniable.
Well, quite the contrary, Your Honor. Whether the newspaper was about to be thrown out, whether Mr. Morgan was working too hard, whether he was exhausted.
Well, a newspaper never lasts more than one day, right?
So I want to go back to whether there's a racial dimension, because the truth is that there doesn't appear to be any dispute about his apprehension rate. It's not too bad at the very beginning. It drops off, and it goes down to nothing. And that's what they say they let him go for, because it's a grocery store in an area that experiences a fair amount of shrinkage, as people say. And I'm having trouble seeing how he can prove that there is anything about his race that motivates this. I just... don't see it.
Circumstantial evidence is.
But what? I mean, you know, yes, Mr. Gutierrez is Hispanic, and, you know, I don't know how the manager, the dairy manager, Mr. Kajewalski, is even similarly situated. It seems like quite a different position. There's this other guy, Presley or Preston, whoever he is, Presley, who's another African American. I just don't see the race story here.
Well, Mr. Morgan, who is African American, turned in a white manager. Up until the point where Mr. Morgan had turned in a white manager for stealing a newspaper or part of a newspaper, he had had basically no problems on the job.
Do we know the racial composition of the people he did apprehend?
No, that's not in the record, Your Honor.
I mean, it seems to me you could say the same thing. He turned in a white customer, too. And the testimony we get from everybody is, gee, we think he could have been even harder on Mr. Kajewalski than he was. Yes, he turned in a white manager, but you think that's enough to survive summary judgment?
Well, there's a number of things, Your Honor. First of all, there's this incredibly suspicious timing. The day after he reports the white manager, he's written up for the very first time. He's written up for two things, both of which are incredibly suspicious. One thing he's written up for is being tardy when it was exactly the same, as is shown by the record, as he's done before, and he followed the same procedure that he had done before. The other thing Mr. Morgan's written up for the day after he reports the white manager is that he didn't have any stops the first week of that month. When he had just reviewed with the Hispanic supervisor who wrote him up the videotapes of the white manager taking the newspaper. And so the write-up is either a lie or it's incredibly artfully drafted to get around that point. In terms of the value of the newspaper...
You see, reporting a dairy manager was an embarrassment to Gutierrez, right? Because I'm assuming that this happened at the end of the day, right? Because the drug manager, dairy manager, he was leaving to take his wife to a play, and I guess he wanted there was an article about the play in the newspaper. So presumably that was the end of the day that he's leaving. So that newspaper wasn't going to be purchased by a regular customer. So Gutierrez felt he had to follow up on this because of the rule that you can't remove unpurchasable items. But it's an embarrassment. It showed poor judgment on Morgan's part, and it's embarrassment for Gutierrez. So he gets annoyed because Morgan is not a very effective shoplifter catcher. So I don't see why, if Morgan were white, it would have made any difference.
Well, first of all, if Gutierrez is embarrassed, and if part of the embarrassment is that Mr. Morgan is African American,
but what's the basis for that?
See, that's what you can't. That's where you have difficulty. See, Gutierrez could just be irritated that he stop somebody like a dairy manager, and he's forced to reprimand the dairy manager. So it could just be sort of payback for the fact that he, you know, now I'm going to look at your record. You've done this. This is a manager. I don't agree with this. You shouldn't have done this. The question is, how is race in the game? That's really the question, because it could be other motivation.
If I could point out two things, Your Honor. First of all, attributing that motive to Mr. Gutierrez makes him into a liar. That is not what he said his motive was. And so your hypothetical says that he was lying about his motive. And if he's lying about his motive, the jury...
That wouldn't be a surprise.
Pardon?
That wouldn't be a surprise.
Well, and for that reason, the jury, if Mr. Gutierrez is in fact lying about his motive, as he is under your hypothetical, it's the jury that gets to decide.
No, that's not how things work. You have to have evidence. You can't make a case on the basis of the defendant's witnesses being dishonest.
Well, that combined with the circumstantial evidence.
There's no circumstantial evidence.
And let me ask you this. The write-up occurred within a few days, but hadn't Gutierrez spoken to Morgan several times about his low number of stops before this incident even happened with the dairy manager?
Yes, and it's disputed whether those were of a disciplinary nature or just talking. And in fact,
is the topic disputed or just the tone?
The tone is disputed.
And then,
were talking about.
The topic is not disputed.
Right. And then he even suggested that Morgan transfer to another store in an area with more crime to improve his numbers. But of course, Morgan didn't want to do it. It was too far from his home. But this whole issue of not having enough people, not targeting enough people, was something that was a problem, and Gutierrez had told him that before he got any paper on it.
My red light is on, but if I may answer Your Honor's question. The fact that, as Your Honor pointed out, the month before, Mr. Gutierrez said, what about transferring you to another store? After turning in reporting the white manager, that became firing. That was a definite change. The whole attitude and the whole totality of the circumstances is that everything changed once Mr. Morgan reported a white manager for shoplifting. And by the way, it's in the record that the amount that this store lost a month for shoplifting was $100 to $300. And if you take a newspaper every day and a Sunday paper and you do the arithmetic, that could actually come to a fairly large chunk of that, probably $20 a month or something. So
there's no indication that this, that the only evidence is that this fellow took the newspaper, the dairy manager took the newspaper because he was taking his wife to a play. But he doesn't take his wife to a play every night, presumably.
The store suspended him for a day and put him on probation.
The point is, once this becomes, you know, public, they have to. Obviously, if they do nothing once it's surfaced, then they're conveying a bad signal to the other employees. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Lee. We'll hear from Mr. Sadia.
Good morning, Your Honors. As an initial matter, I just wanted to address a question that was asked earlier. Strack did not acquire Cub Foods. Strack merely occupied the real estate where Cub Foods used to be. Morgan here wants to cross the summary judgment bridge before he's built it. He does not set forth any facts that justify, that set forth a genuine issue of fact, let alone justify summary judgment in his favor.
Well, now, the corrective notice said that Morgan's position would be evaluated again at the end of October for the theft stops, but he was fired about a week before. Was there any explanation for why the store didn't wait until the corrective action notice had indicated to reevaluate him?
There was none given in the record, Your Honor. The direct method under circumstantial evidence that Morgan first cites, the standard for this is that he has to show proof of a convincing mosaic of discrimination. And Morgan is throwing out tiles here saying this, but none of them are actually evidence of discrimination. We have the suspicious timing argument.
But when we step back and look at this whole picture, whether we want to call it direct evidence, circumstantial evidence branch, or whether we want to call it McDonnell Douglas, where we have certain ritual pieces of information that we bring together, we do have, you know, an African-American man working at this place, and he isn't making a lot of theft stops during the whole time he works there. I guess the successor got fired after only a month on the job. So it turns out, you know, he's doing pretty well. He's lasting. He creates this embarrassing situation with the white dairy manager. And then, as Judge Williams says, he's fired even before the period of time that's given to him. Doesn't that suggest, I mean, even without stacking up comparators and this reason and that reason, doesn't that suggest that race could have something to do with it?
Without more, it's merely a speculative leap.
But there is more, because Morgan gets his first write-ups right after reporting the manager and then gets fired 2.5 weeks later.
2.5 weeks had elapsed without any more stops. I believe, Your Honor, that was toward the end of October when there was still a week left to go.
Right. There was a week left to go till the end of October. And weren't the stops looked at on a monthly basis?
That's what the record indicates, Your Honor.
So that wasn't the end of the month, October 24th?
No, it wasn't.
And you have there was nothing in the record that explains that?
There's not. Beyond the fact that Mr. Morgan is black and Mr. Kiedowski is white, there's no evidence of a racial animus behind this action. It could very well have been, and again, I'm just speculating here, because Strax was embarrassed because the situation was created. But there's no showing of a racial animus. The testimony... Morgan's own testimony said that while he worked at Strack, he had never felt harassed, discriminated based on his race. It's all we have is the different race of Morgan and Kiedowski serving as an alleged basis here for a racial animus. Suspicious timing aside, first of all, I would submit to the court that this timing here is not that suspicious. If the court's previous case law, which was cited by Morgan, is examined, usually it's on the order of 1 day, 2 to 3 days. Here we have 2.5 weeks elapsing before the termination occurs, 2.5 weeks during which Mr. Morgan made no apprehensions.
But we do have the immediate criticisms for the tardy appearance at work and the other little one.
There did come, but... The adverse action out of which Morgan's claim arises does not accrue until 2.5 weeks later.
Do we know what the consequence? Is there any manual or anything in the record that indicates how Strack viewed tardiness? Did you have like 10 that you were able to get before you, or was there a disciplinary point system or anything?
Your Honor, I know there is a handbook, but that was not introduced of record at the summary judgment proceedings.
And Morgan had received 2 other corrective notices for being tardy, but they were ultimately waived, weren't they?
That is correct.
And he did contact a supervisor. It just wasn't his immediate supervisor, right?
Is Your Honor referring to?
When he was late, the 90-minute late, he emailed an assistant security director, not his immediate supervisor, right?
That's what the record shows. And then, referring back, I want to touch...
So is that so egregious that he notifies his supervisor about his absence?
It's not egregious, Your Honor.
Well, a reason that he should have been terminated.
The reason he was terminated, that was made clear on the record, was his failure to perform an adequate amount of stops. Gutierrez and Mowry, who are the immediate supervisor and the department head of loss prevention, both testified that they reviewed the numbers for Morgan, and based on his performance for September and October, made the decision to terminate him based on that. It's a simple question of, you know, Strack's bottom line. It's a loss with the shrinkage, they call it, of free...
Did they hire a replacement?
They did hire a replacement.
Is he white or black?
I believe, Your Honor, he was Hispanic. I would have to check the record on that.
But you're saying the record indicates that the tardy had nothing to do with... or was not cited in any event in conjunction with the job termination.
That was not stated as a factor in the job termination. The testimony in the deposition stated that it was strictly because of his poor performance on stops, with the numbers of which, as the court had indicated, are not disputed here. Strack was making the decision to not only lose the money paying Morgan for his poor performance, but also for the shrinkage that resulted from presumably failure of a deterrent effect of by poor performance and loss prevention. Also, another element that, or a fact rather, that Morgan focuses on is the statement given by Hahn, the HR representative to the EEOC. I would highlight here that Hahn stated that the reason for his termination was the failure to make stops. The only inconsistency here is in how many more stops he would have needed to keep his job.
She initially thinks it's a smaller number and then says, well, maybe more.
She initially said one, and then in her deposition given later, she said after consulting with Gutierrez and Mowry, she concluded that many more were needed, which makes sense because Mowry and Gutierrez were actually involved with Morgan's job performance versus someone over in HR who's responding to EEOC complaints.
I want to go back to these, and I recognize the tardiness was not part of why he was the reason that was given that he was fired, but these other two instances, these were verbal sort of reprimands from the manager, and this written notice came right after the incident with the dairy manager on tardiness. So that could be something that's viewed in the totality of the circumstances.
Under this court's case law, that does fall within the time framework for fishy timing is the language used, but that ultimately, according to the testimony, did not play a role in the termination. There's no, and Hahn's statement, if I may turn back, does not evidence pretext. The district judge or magistrate judge probably properly analyzed this on the honesty of the reasons for the termination. Strack's own numbers, Gutierrez's testimony, the conversations that occurred before the Katowowski incident, the reasons given for the termination, and the basic reason given to the EEOC are all consistent, and they all support each other. The inconsistency of statement would be, at best, fodder for impeachment if there were tribal issues. There are no there is no positive proof of the elements of the claims that Morgan has proffered, merely just inconsistencies in Strack's representative statements and inferences that really go beyond what the evidence shows. And I see my time is up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sevilla.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Lee, your time has expired, but you have a minute if you have anything further.
Yes, one point, Your Honors. What the director of HR, Ms. Hahn, said to the EEOC was that had Mr. Morgan stopped the white manager, he would not have been fired. That's a but-for cause. She says that. That was the but-for cause. Then after, and the employer admits this, after reviewing the deposition testimony of other people, she changed her position to harmonize her testimony with that of other people. That certainly raises credibility issues, which only a jury could decide. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you to both counsel. Next case for